Vortex Temporum. Composers and the inner thoughts about this and that. A podcast by Lee Mina and Art Nutin.
It's not very often I get to talk about whatever I like. So when I was given the opportunity to do so, I naturally chose the very subject that I suspect bores people the most, my dreams. Imagine, if you will, that this podcast is the one-sided conversation that I would love to have with every friend I possess, if only they would let me. If dreams are all about the self, I'm a narcissist by way of being a dream bore. And let's be clear, I'm not particularly interested in anyone else's dreams. To be fair, it's not so much about wanting to analyze myself. Introspection is not exactly my thing. It's more to do with dreams being an extra creative outlet, my own personal TV channel, and a potential source of lazy inspiration for my waking life as an artist. This podcast is a potted history of my dreaming life, from first nightmares, recurring dreams, through to significant and groundbreaking dream events. In what follows, there will be plenty of descriptions of particular dreams in all their thrilling detail, be they funny, scary, or melancholy. Welcome to my unconscious mind. I don't remember any dreams before the age of 6, even though I have memories of real life, or what I think was real life, going back to when I was 3.5. I imagine the explanation for this is that I slept soundly as a small child, all the way through the night probably, giving me little opportunity to register my dreams. It's hardly surprising then that the first one I remember having was on Christmas morning when I was too excited to stay asleep. I woke up at about 6 a.m. and after being made to go back to bed, I had what can only be described as a nightmare. In this case, an unpleasant inversion of my own Christmas desires. I dreamt that there were 2 cats with humanoid bodies living in our spare room. They looked as if they were in a Beatrix Potter illustration, wearing thrilly aprons and bonnets and drinking tea from fine china. I had the vague sense that they might be mechanical. At first I was excited to see the cat people, but it gradually became clear to me that they had malevolent intentions. I woke up with a start and checked the spare room for evil cats. Thankfully, there were none. That year, the Christmas kitten that I'd wished for failed to materialize underneath the tree, maybe for the better. Other nightmares followed, of course, like the one about the king and queen, also evil, who appeared in our back garden because I stared too long into the darkness. There have also been the sleep paralysis episodes that started when I was a teenager and continued into early adulthood. Experiences between dreaming and waking that are worse than nightmares and far too scary to talk about in this podcast. These sleep paralysis episodes, and I do still have the occasional one, are often preceded by lucid dreams. Dreams in which you understand that you were dreaming. Dream gurus, of course, would like to teach us the power of harnessing such dreams or even give us instructions on how to turn a normal dream lucid. I, for one, have never been able to control my lucid dreams, but I find them enjoyable nevertheless. They are often incredibly vivid, joyfully so, with the sky, a particular shade of forget-me-not blue, rarely seen in real life. The main meat and potatoes of my dreaming life, though, are a little more mundane, and consist of a series of recurring dreams. In Jungian analysis, it's said that the purpose of a dream is for the unconscious mind to comment upon a conscious attitude, and that a recurring dream is the unconscious reminding someone that these problems with the conscious attitude have yet to be addressed. I must be a deeply dysfunctional individual, since I've estimated that I have about 15 different recurring dreams. I imagine my unconscious mind constantly knocking on the door of the conscious one, issuing multiple reminder notifications every week that I just stuff into a drawer and try to forget about. I'm going to tell you about some of them. I won't try to interpret them. I'm not really into introspection, as I said. But if you have an illuminating explanation of any of them, I'd be happy to hear about it. Most of the dreams are a bit horrible, but there are a few that are quite pleasant. I'll arrange them in order from nice to nasty. Number 1. Animals can talk. And by animals, I mean normal animals, not the semi-humanoid kind. I'm always delighted by this discovery. It's like I'm present at a highly significant evolutionary milestone. The animals in question are usually cats, but once, rather unexpectedly, it was a litter of Cavalier King Charles Spaniel puppies, one of my least favourite breeds of dog. I think their squashed-up faces look stupid. Number 2. I find a wormhole to another place. A kind of magical shortcut that I never knew existed. It's usually nothing to do with reaching other planets or galaxies, and involves ordinary places. A portal from my parents' old house in Surbiton to Richmond High Street, for instance. A journey that would take an hour and 2 bus rides lasts a matter of seconds. Number 3. There is a new room in my house, or sometimes an entire floor. I wonder what I will do with the room. Turn it into a second studio, a walk-in closet, a tea-drinking parlour for evil cat people. The possibilities seem endless. Like number 1 and 2, this also involves discovery and is usually very nice, except for the times when the room is dusty, full of cobwebs, and a bit sinister. It's quite a classic universal dream, and apparently it's to do with revelation of the self or something similar. Number 4. Another classic dream. I'm still a schoolgirl. Most often I'm at home, realizing that I am missing school because I got up too late. I'm simultaneously full of guilt and yet ready for a morning full of watching daytime television. Sometimes I manage to turn up at school. My old friend Gemma is also attending classes, even though in real life she is herself a teacher. Occasionally, my own compositions are played during assembly, because of course, I'm already a commissioned composer, despite being only a schoolgirl. The dream always ends in the same way. I convince my parents or the teachers that it's okay for me to stop going to school, because in fact, I already have all the academic qualifications I need. The ending is quite a relief, but it also comes with the realization upon waking that I am getting old. Number 5. Crumbling and dangerous staircases. Do I dare try to ascend one if I don't think I can come down again? Sometimes steps are missing because the structure is falling apart. At other times, there is no barrier between the stairs and a deep abyss. In real life, I am not fond of heights, but I can cope okay with stairs, except for the non-solid floating type with gaps in between. People may think they look fabulously stylish, but all I can see is the danger. Number 6. Probably the saddest of them all, and a dream that has been plaguing me regularly in recent years. I'm at my family home, sometimes visiting it, sometimes living there. I know that it now has new owners, and so I don't understand why it is still available for me to use and full of my parents' furniture. Sometimes I'm there alone, it's bleak to say the least, and I can't wait to pack up my bags and leave. But most often, my bewildered parents are there, back from the dead and squatting in the house until the current owners move in. They have no place to call home anymore, and I have no idea what to do with them once they are forced to move out. I won't tell you about any more of them, because it just continues in the same gloomy, anxiety-inducing vein from here, like the recurring dream where the man I love takes every opportunity to snub me during a variety of social encounters. The one where I'm driving a car badly without a license, or when I have to take part in a concert on an instrument I have no idea how to play, etc., etc. For the final part of my podcast, I thought I might talk about the occasions on which my dreams have been useful in a tangible way, apart from being an ongoing source of interesting and unique atmospheres. Sometimes my dreams contain actual imaginary artistic works. On one occasion, I dreamt of a piece created by a friend of mine, consisting of a dozen Carmen Mirandas dancing in unison in what appeared to be a medium halfway between a live performance and a film projection. The dream was in full Technicolor. When I told my friend about the piece, perhaps expecting her to get excited by the weirdness of it all, she rightly said, "Joanna, that's not my piece, it's your piece." Needless to say, it joins a long waiting list of dream ideas that I will turn into art when I finally learn how to translate their elusive qualities into the real world. Rarely, my dreams are predictive. Sometimes this predictive quality is quite subjective. I'll go to a place in real life that I've never been to before and remember a dream that I've had of a very similar location. But at other times, things are more concrete. Many years ago, I once dreamt about a natural disaster that turned up in the news 3 days later. And more recently, I correctly predicted the new artistic director of a music festival some time before they were actually given the job. You might say coincidence, and you could well be right, but I prefer the notion that my unconscious mind is occasionally capable of engaging in a little time travel. I would love to be able to put these predictions to better use, though, perhaps monetize them, and become some kind of oracle for hire. But alas, they are too unpredictable and infrequent for that. So that's it. My time is up, and I've had your attention for long enough. It's hard to fit 48 years' worth of dreams into less than a quarter of an hour. Actually, no one really knows how long dreams last in terms of real-world time. Maybe my total dreams have taken up a quarter of my 48 years. Maybe much less, something infinitesimally short. The idea that dreams might have tiny durations that are experienced by the dreamer as lasting much longer is quite a seductive one. It would make dreaming a bit like visiting Narnia.
You heard Joanna Bailey. This episode was released on 3rd May 2022. Vortex Temporum is a podcast by Limina and Arte no Tempo.